Today on Multisport Media, we are joined by Adam Klink. He is the head coach of CrossFit Krypton, and he has just taken part in the Elite 12 Hyrox event over in Germany. Adam, how are we doing? How are we feeling? Are we feeling good?
I'm doing good now. Yeah, it's Thursday, so I've had a few days to recover. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty tired, especially with the flight for like the day or two after. But it's been
good. How far was the flight?
So I had an hour flight on either end, and then I was 9.5 hours across. So I had an hour to DC, DC to Frankfurt, and then Frankfurt to Hamburg.
You didn't happen to bump into Hunter on the way, did you, on the flight?
No, my flight actually got canceled and rescheduled 24 hours later on my way there. So I actually flew to DC, and then I had to spend the night in DC, and we didn't leave till 5:30 p.m. the next day. So I got there the day before the race, and then I left the early morning after the race. So I think I was in Germany for like 46 hours.
Oh, wow. What a way.
Yeah.
I'm doing an event. You're going to be here for a day and a bit.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. But we are in crazy times.
Right.
And talking about crazy times, just before we get into the Hyrox thing, Adam, how did you find traveling in COVID? Did you have any issues with traveling?
So going to Germany was the biggest issue. When I checked in for my flight here in Norfolk, Virginia, they called like six different people. Like, I guess I had all the necessary documents, but they had to make a bunch of phone calls to clear it. Even though the people at Hyrox like did their due diligence and got me what I needed. It took a little while, but they finally let me through. I didn't have any issues leaving Germany. I did have to get a COVID test at the airport leaving. Mm-hmm. I think they just wanted me to go home to America. So,
off you go.
I only say that because I've just come back from Tenerife, where it was the Spartan European Championships.
It wasn't the Spartan European Championships.
Well, it wasn't. They cancelled it the night before. So I flew out to Spain, got cancelled, flew home. Man. And then England have put us in quarantine. So I'm now in lockdown, self-isolation lockdown.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to have a test until 5 days afterwards. So my weekend's gone nuts. I hope yours went better. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a lot of traveling, but it was great. I think I had 4 COVID tests in like 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're all good.
All good. Yeah, all negative. I'm good.
You're all clean. Perfect. So the reason you were going over to Germany was for the Hyrox Elite 12. I guess it was an invitational world championship event.
Yep.
You can't divulge anything to do with the results, so we won't press you on that. But we do want to know about the event. How was it kind of set up? Was it a very
Who won? I'm only joking.
Was the event kind of like a small scale one? We did see a few little clips from social media, from a few stories, mainly with Hunter just joking and laughing about competitors while going through. But how was the event? It actually looked quite cool, quite intimate. The running was on ski mills.
Yeah, so it was amazing. It was an awesome experience, and I'm glad that I did it. It was actually my first Hyrox experience. So that was my first race ever. I didn't really know what to expect, but talking about like throwing me into the wolves, I mean, the guys that I competed at were true athletes and super fast. But it was very intimate. I think they rented out. It wasn't dingy like it's going to sound, but they rented out kind of like a warehouse. And I mean, they decked this thing out. I mean, they made this competition floor, and it was obviously the lengths for the workouts were shorter. I mean, it was the same distance, but because it was shorter, like for example, for the farmer's carry, you went down and back 10 times.
Yeah.
For the sled push, it was 4 times down and back, as opposed to like just 1 time down and back. So it was a closed event. There were no spectators. It was a small venue, so we didn't run around the competition floor like in most Hyrox events that I've seen or looked up. We actually were going to run on skill mills, but they couldn't get them. I think it was something to do with the belt, because you can adjust the tension of the belt and how hard it is. Okay. They couldn't get them to all be
the same
equal. Yeah. Whatever reason, I think they said they wanted to bump it up to like a number 1 or a number 2, but the number kept jumping around, so it wasn't going to be equal for all competitors. So I think like that day of the competition, they like reached out to a bunch of gyms and got assault runners, and we ran on those. Okay. Which were, I mean, that obviously made the competition harder. Anytime you're going to run on a runner as opposed to the floor, but no, it was an awesome experience.
Oh, wow. The salt runners, are they the ones that are the curves? You have to generate your own. Yeah.
You make it go.
You're going to
make that extra movement.
Yeah.
But, as it's your first kind of HYROX event, how did you feel for it as an event? Obviously, you've got a long competitive history. How did you find HYROX as an event?
It is hard. And I'll admit that straight up. I think with my style of training in CrossFit, like the longer workouts that we'll ever do is half an hour, 45 minutes. And usually if it's that long, it's in the form of intervals where we'll work for a certain amount of time, but then we'll get rest.
Yeah.
The biggest difference at a HYROX event is there's no rest. So I don't necessarily...
It's running.
Yeah. And it took me a little bit to figure out that the bulk of it was running and you need to be a fast runner. But it's just kind of a different style of training. I'm not an endurance athlete, not yet. That's my goal now is to train and crush some of these events moving forward throughout the US. But I know now what it takes to train specifically for an event like this.
And I, as an athlete myself, I love that moment where you do a race and you go home and you know you've had your ass kicked, you know, like Luke with the sled at HYROX, and you go to yourself, do you know what? Now I know what it takes to be that next level. I love that feeling of just finding your complete weaknesses.
100%.
Kind of sad, but you know what I mean?
Well, but I mean, you know, I train a lot of CrossFit, and in theory, that's what you're trying to do in CrossFit is eliminate weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So it's actually really fun and really cool to find a weakness and then to dive into that and to work towards that and see your improvement there. So I'm excited to continue this training.
So how much of your research was done on the plane going to Germany?
Well, considering I didn't have Wi-Fi, I truly didn't know what to expect. I gave it like a run through in my gym with what I had. You know, I had all the elements, I set them up, and I kind of got a feel for what it would feel like on the ground. But again, I didn't know a ton about the competitors. You know,
that's deceiving, isn't it?
Say what?
That's deceiving. Some of those athletes, they look really skinny. And you think there's no way she's pushing this sled. There's no way he's doing that. And then, wow.
It's funny. One of the guys I competed against probably weighed 140 pounds. I'm 220 pounds. But you know what? He runs a 15-minute 5K and I run a 19-minute 5K.
Oh, yeah. There's a definitely what you said about having kind of doing the event before. So that is also sometimes deceiving because
it was deceiving.
Because
you got your own pace.
When I did HYROX in Hanover, I kind of did the sled before. I did exactly the same weight that would be at Hanover. It was a different sled though and different floor. And I was okay, I can move this. It's fairly easy.
Yeah.
I can do the pull in. That's nice. That's easy. Got to Hanover and it was like, boom, crushed me, absolutely wiped me out. And I was like, that's not the same.
I think you cried.
Well, I think because they use carpets. The carpet's a surface and there's a lot of friction. And again, when I tested two at my gym, I was on turf. So even though it's the same weight, it's going to slide a little bit.
Would you suggest then just putting some more weight on the sled?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good way of doing it. And that's where, again, in coaching and training, where you go away and like you go, do you know what? I'm not making that mistake again.
Exactly. Like I know that the sled should feel at a weight where I can't run with it.
Yeah. Like a step is painful.
Yeah.
So take us right back, Adam, because I'm interested in like and you like literally how did you become Adam Clink, the CrossFit? Where did it all start for you? What surely it wasn't in CrossFit, you know, what was the first sort of sport and loving? How did you get into it?
Yeah, so in high school I played a bunch of sports, and I think that's one of the reasons I've been successful as an athlete is I had my hands in a lot of different things. I played basketball, ran track, played football, played soccer. And then I think at a point in your high school career, you gravitate towards what you're best at. And for me, that was soccer or football for you guys, right? I was a goalkeeper. So I went off and I played college soccer for Rutgers University. I played 4 years. I redshirted my first year. I got too many concussions. my senior year. So, you know, in my mind, I'm going to go to MLS Combine. I'm going to get a tryout. I'm going to try to, you know, play professionally. And then that all came to a halt. So that's how I found CrossFit. Mm-hmm. So I found CrossFit at 22 years old back in 2012 and started getting into it just, you know, for an athletic outlet for myself, because I was told that I couldn't play contact sports anymore. No. So that led me to, I had a buddy back in high school. His name is Ben Smith, and we graduated the same year. I went home. He opened his new gym, CrossFit Krypton. Mm-hmm. And first month the gym was open, I got a 1 month membership while I was home on winter break, and I stuck with CrossFit. And I would come home on the weekends after that, and he sat me down and he said, "Hey, what are you doing after college?" And I said, "I don't know, maybe coaching soccer or, you know." And he said, "Well, you want to come down and coach with me?" So I said, "Sure." So I competed in my first regionals in the Northeast, and then that next day drove down back home to Virginia, and I've been coaching at CrossFit Krypton ever since.
Nice.
That is a story and a half.
Definitely. Yeah, and that's just really provided me the environment to grow as an athlete and train with some of the best athletes in the world. You know, Ben and his brothers are all incredible athletes. Ben's obviously won the CrossFit Games. Alex's been to the Games a couple of times. So I think you're a product of your environment, and that's allowed me to do some pretty cool things.
Do you think you would have got into CrossFit without the gym, or do you think the gym's really turned you into a CrossFitter? Like, obviously, you would have done CrossFit and tried it still, but do you think having the gym there, being a coach there, is obviously sort of combined to your lifestyle effectively?
I think so, because it you get to a point, and it was probably 2014, 2015, where you had to have a job or a lifestyle that facilitated multiple hours of training a day with the way the sport was going. And being at that gym and literally being able to coach a class and then 5 minutes later hopping into a workout, you know, that allowed me to train enough to at least be relatively competitive. I think if I had any other job and I was just going to the gym once a day, I wouldn't have been as competitive.
Mm. Well, talking about competitive, obviously CrossFit have released the date for the Open today in March. You have, last year you were 149th in the world.
Yeah.
You've had some impressive...
One behind me.
One behind you.
one millionth behind Jack. You've had some impressive finishes in the Open. What's kind of like the feeling towards the Open this year? Obviously March, not too far away.
Yeah, it's coming. I'm gonna have a baby right around that time, a second child. So, it's no excuse. So 2 years ago I had a baby right around that time, so this is our second one. But it'll
maybe
be interesting.
Tell me a bit more about that, Adam, because I've also got a baby on the way in March. I'm very scared.
Yeah. It's gonna change your life for the better, but you're not going to get a lot of sleep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've been telling them that for like a year now.
Bro, sleep as much as you can right now. The best advice I got was, when the baby sleeps, you sleep.
Yeah.
You just
curl up. Sorry, I interrupted you there. You just scared me again about babies.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But I also heard that two is way more challenging than one. We're gonna have a two-year-old and a brand new baby.
Oh, wow. One walking and running around, and one that you need to change and feed.
So I reckon
one who's exhausting and one who doesn't sleep and needs just to wipe their butt.
Well, I reckon you've got a good excuse there, Adam, if you don't quite do it too well. Well, you won that one, Ben. I've got babies. Yeah. You know.
I'm kind of excited for this Open. You know, I think the 3 weeks is good. Like five weeks of just being a stressed out head case is like unhealthy. So I think 3 weeks is a little bit better. I think it's cool how they're going in segments, where if you finish in like the top 10%, you have more workouts online. Mm-hmm. And then I think if you finish in whatever placement for those, you actually go to, I think they're calling them regionals again.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of change, obviously, since CrossFit has changed hands to the new owner. Seems to be a bit more structure at that kind of end.
Yeah.
And yeah, the regional name instead of sanctional seems to have popped up again. So
it's all promising.
Yeah, it sounds like some good stuff. What was he on? Is he on Talking Elite Fitness? He spoke very good then, and seemed like it's going to be pushing on into the future. But how about for yourself? Obviously, you work as a head coach at CrossFit Krypton. What's it like for you having somebody new at the helm of CrossFit? You've only ever known kind of one person leading the ship. So
sure.
Is it promising? Is it, do you think CrossFit is going to continue to grow and be even more popular?
Yeah, I think we're super optimistic. Obviously, when everything went down with CrossFit, we didn't jump ship right away because we felt that we wanted to be part of the solution. And, you know, yes, the people that left CrossFit and deaffiliated, there was a purpose. And that's probably why Glassman ultimately, you know, sold CrossFit. Like those people had to make that stand. But I think just with our name and having the Smith family attached to us, clearly, I think, again, we wanted to find a solution and not just act out of anger or, you know, because we were upset. And I'm glad that we did. I think we would have been fine if we deaffiliated for a little bit, just to make a point. Our members would have understood. But at the same time, like, we didn't want to throw our members for a loop and cause them confusion. And, you know, so we just kind of sat back and, you know, just waited to see what happened for a little while. But no, super optimistic with Eric. Everything that I've heard on every podcast and every video clip, he seems like a super down to earth guy, and he's super involved in CrossFit. Like, he himself is a CrossFitter at the games. He was doing the games workouts after the event. I mean, he's just so engulfed in the community where Glassman really wasn't. I mean, Glassman didn't do CrossFit. He created the methodology, but, you know, he didn't really practice what he preached. I mean, I think his biggest thing was kind of fighting legal battles on behalf of CrossFit. But I'm not sure, you know, how much good that did for us.
No, but it's promising times going forwards.
If it was your job, Adam, what would you do? Like, if where would you go?
That is a tough question, man. I don't know everything going on behind the scenes, but I mean, I have to imagine I'd try to. I think the biggest thing I would do if I was in that position would be relatable to everybody and communicate to everybody. And I think if you do those two things and put yourself in everybody's shoes and say, look, we're in this together, you know, I think people really rally around that. And then that's what Eric's done, and that's what he's gotten so far. I think people are really behind him.
And with regards to the workouts, do you think, you know, you'd mix it up there? Because, like, for instance, I watched the games, obviously, this year, and I actually really enjoyed the workouts. I thought they were very much, sounds silly, but less CrossFitty and more sort of really opening your eyes up to other sports, and especially endurance sports.
Yeah.
Very much like HYROX, I suppose. You know, and we've had things like the Spartan Games happen. We've had CrossFit athletes. We had Sam Briggs on the podcast the other week, and she was saying, actually, and it's interesting what you said when you finished a minute ago. You said, now you've done something that's made you want to go and train more endurance style. Can you see CrossFit going back that way? I suppose how it originally was, I suppose, is it? Like, more swimming, more triathlon based, more running based, more running with weights?
Yeah. I think it really kind of depends on the setting and the venue for the CrossFit Games. I think they did that because they were at the ranch, and I think they really only had so much at their disposal, but they had a bunch of hills to run up, and they, you know, found a pool, and, you know, I think they made the best of their surroundings. I thought it was an awesome CrossFit Games as far as workouts go. I think it might be a little different, you know, when you're back in Madison or when they were in California, and you're constricted to the tennis stadium or the Coliseum. So I think the setting plays a big factor in that. But I think it would be cool if CrossFit started putting on, you know, other events outside of sanctionals in the open, and just stuff that people can compete in all year round. Say, like, if they partnered with HYROX, and, you know, it'd still be HYROX, it'd still be CrossFit, but it'd be, you know, something that's mutually beneficial to both, where people could still compete in either or.
Maybe like a combined game, so you could have, like, your CrossFit athletes and your HYROX athletes, and then
what if your HYROX was one event at the games?
Well, yeah.
CrossRox. Right out there. But talking about the games, 2019, you were on a team, CrossFit Krypton. You guys did pretty well.
So I have something to add to that. So I get the fancy games badge on the website. I was the alternate. So I cannot claim. You can't claim the fame.
Okay. Yeah, you can. Hey. Just leave it there. Move on.
The South London football team still claim they play.
Yeah. Well, you know, I trained hard that year and I had a good open and, you know, I did a sanctional, but I did not put the work in for the CrossFit Games.
The guys
from I did.
But the CrossFit Krypton team did very well.
Did amazing. Yep.
Absolutely.
Without Adam.
Without me.
Adam was the coach.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
who was on the team then? It was
Alex Smith and Cody Mooney were the guys. Then it was Jessica Griffith and Camille LeBlanc-Fazenay as the girls.
Camille LeBlanc-Fazenay. She's won it before, I believe.
She has. Yep. So she was on the team. So that was when you needed to list an alternate.
Mm-hmm.
So that team actually qualified with Danny Spiegel,
yeah. But
Camille took that spot. So she used the alternate spot there. Say Cody or Alec would have gotten injured before the games. I would have been the only person who could have filled that position. No. You had to declare that before.
You just rolling weights out onto the gym.
Yeah, just like bowling, hoping it.
Bit of food poisoning.
Well, we'll talk about Alex Smith quickly. How crazy is his kind of gymnastics and stuff?
It's like to the point where I don't even try to keep up with him or anything. Like
Instagram is crazy.
He is on another level when it comes to gymnastics. And I mean, he's clearly the best in the sport in that aspect of CrossFit, like, you know, untouchable. But it's awesome learning and trying to, you know, compete with somebody like that. But it's one of those things where, again, like, you know, you're only going to be as good as the people who are pushing you, you know? So, you know, it's cool having a good and a big training group and everybody has all their strengths. And, you know, I think that's why everybody's thrived in our community is because we always have somebody to chase. Like Ben, when we train, Ben doesn't win every workout. I might win this workout and Alec wins this workout and Ben wins this workout and Dane wins this workout, you know, so we're always chasing somebody.
That's good. So from kind of like current crop of CrossFitters, who do you think would be the best suited to like a HYROX event?
In CrossFit?
Yeah, like the top end CrossFitters that kind of in and around the games, who do you think would be the mm-hmm. best to take on a HYROX event if you could put someone forward?
Man.
Do you think Fraser would do well?
He's going to do well in anything. I mean, he's going to be able to, honestly, he's going to be able to hold his own. I'm trying to think of like, you know, who your better runners are in CrossFit. It's kind of hard to know relatively right now, just because I feel like we haven't seen live competition in a while.
one time.
I think for the girls, like Christy Aramo is a really good endurance athlete. For the guys, maybe like somebody like Bjorgman Carl Gudmundsson. I know he does a lot of like biking and, you know, some longer distance stuff. I don't know. Justin Medeiros gave Matt Fraser a pretty good run on the trail run. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I think if any of those guys trained more endurance, mm-hmm. you know, just put a heavier focus on that, any of them would do well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think like with the CrossFit training then, if you literally put maybe 2 to 3 months of a bit more of an endurance base in as well, you'd be like perfectly set.
You'd be very competitive. Absolutely. Okay.
That's good.
The issue, I suppose, HYROX have got to get that type of caliber of athlete there. No, Adam, how did you get there? Were you a wild card?
So I was invited as a wild card. So mm-hmm. I signed on to HYROX America for the 2021 season to represent them and race at all their races. Right. And if I have my facts correct, Sam Briggs did the same for Europe. So they invited myself and Sam Briggs to be the sixth man and sixth woman for the world championships. We just got thrown into it.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, I suppose to get like your higher caliber CrossFit athletes, I suppose the money needs to be there, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
That's the big issue. I think HYROX or any company is always going to have.
You put the money, people will come.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
you build it.
And they will train for it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Because, you know, top end athletes.
And
just,
especially right now, I mean, with coming out of COVID and there's still not a lot of live competition. I mean, CrossFit says they're going to have live sanctionals, but like, I think it's fingers crossed, yeah. You know? So just the ability to have some live competition, again, if there's enough money out there, like people will come. I know I'm sponsored by the company by 10,000 and they're putting out monthly workouts. It's one workout. There's a $5,000 prize purse. Top 10 people get paid, filled with games athletes right now.
Well, they got to do something. Got to earn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think I'm winning that one right now.
Well, on the CrossFit Games website, we've seen the facts aren't always correct on this thing, but it doesn't have it doesn't have a PR for your 5K on the site.
Oh, I did. I ran one.
What is your PR?
1852.
Oh, come on, CrossFit.
1849, 1852. That's me. I have to put that in there.
Oh,
I haven't been logged on to CrossFit, you know, the game site in probably a year and a half.
just scare everyone and put like a 12:30 so we can.
Yeah, right. They'll know I'm lying then.
But running and weights, you have done a pretty remarkable combo of running and weights, which kind of catapulted you into stardom all over different parts of the internet. A sub 5 minute mile, and is it squatted 500 pounds in the same day?
Correct.
Oh, 500 pounds. It just looks big. It looks heavy.
It's just because it's a bumper plates. If it was metal plates, it wouldn't look that heavy.
Oh. Yeah. How was that for doing that in one day?
How was that? Why was that?
Yeah.
Why? Who sits at home and goes, I'm just going to do that, you know?
So here's how it started. So Castro put this out in his book that, you know, he wanted to see if anybody could do a 5 minute mile, 500 pound back squat. And he put 50 pull-ups in there. So it was 550, 500, just to kind of complete the triangle. I actually tried this back in 2018 and I got injured. I got close. I got to like a 517 mile and a 500 squat and I got bad plantar fasciitis and I had to shut it down. CrossFit season came back around. So, all right, done with that. So in quarantine, gyms are closed. So Dane Smith, the youngest Smith, and myself, he just became a new dad. This is a year ago. He has twin girls. Yeah. So he's got it rough. But we started our own programming called Dad Bod Fitness. And it was geared towards people with kids who didn't have a lot of time, who had probably garage gyms or a few pieces of equipment. And, you know, we put out a couple tracks. So there was like a fit workout, a bodybuilding workout. We called it Dad Gut. There was core work. But then another track we put on there was the 5 and 500. And basically all that was, it was running 3 days a week, squatting twice a week. And we were just putting out programming that we were doing to keep ourselves motivated during quarantine. And the further we went through this programming, we were like, wouldn't it be cool if one of us actually hit this? And as we got closer and closer, we were like, dude, one of us is going to hit this. You know, train for 8 weeks, still doing our normal CrossFit training, but basically I would add in Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would run and I'd switch that up between like a longer tempo run, some road intervals or a track workout. And then I squatted twice a week. And it was one of those things too, where I think the sort of athlete that's going to hit it is somebody that already has the back squat and they can train the mile and keep the back squat. I think it's too hard. Like if you have a 4 or 5 back squat and close to a 5 minute mile, like you're not going to put on 100 pounds on your back squat anytime soon.
So me and Luke hate doing this.
You know, I'd love to see, not anytime soon. It might take you a couple of years, but, you know, when I started CrossFit, my back squat was, I think 425, but like put that in perspective, this is 8 years later and I've got a 500 pound back squat. Like that's how long it's taken. But anyways, we got close and I was like, look, I think I can hit this. And so I decided I wanted to document it because it hasn't been documented before. So I made a YouTube video and just kind of all came together and the training paid off. And I didn't honestly do it to blow up. I kind of just wanted a goal and something to stay motivated with through quarantine. And the internet took it and ran with it. I think it was just perfect timing between CrossFit falling apart and no sports. And so like, I feel like everybody needed like something to just like rally around. And
I think also you had the timing wise, you had Hunter obviously going for Murph record as well, wasn't he? You know,
and I a few other right people. Before Hunter, yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Good training, I think.
There's a few things going on. And once you get one or two of those balls rolling, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can do this, you know. And I think that's going to help the sport as well. You know, like I think you doing that has helped CrossFit. And I think you doing that has helped, you know, other CrossFit.
I hope it has,
100% it has, because you're getting guys like me who, no offense, but I have no real interest in CrossFit. I would like watching it because it's sport, but like I have no interest in doing CrossFit. You got me sitting there going, I quite fancy trying that, you know, not quite 500. But.
Man, it's like everybody, the amount of people who have set a goal to get stronger and faster because of that is so cool. And it's super accessible, right? You can run outside, and as long as you have a squat rack, you can train for that.
So what were you, so you say you're doing, you're running, let's just break it down a bit. You're running for that then. So where were you at already with your mile? Were you?
My pretest, that was 5:40. It was 5:43 or 5:46.
Okay. So you had a good chunk to knock off then.
Yeah. A good chunk. I've always been a decent runner being a soccer player. Like I have a good metabolic.
Oh, pretty goal.
Yeah, but I still had to pass the fitness test. So I prided myself on still being able to pass those.
Goalies don't run.
No.
I ran. In college, the goalie's the most fit and athletic person on the team. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the college level. Now, prior to that, like, you know, rec soccer and high school soccer, they put the fat kid in the goal. So
How tall are you, Adam?
6 foot.
Okay, yeah. So you're not massive. Okay.
6 foot. When I did that, I was 216.
Yeah.
So bigger boy to run a sub-5-minute mile.
Yeah. I watched the video. I'm a running coach. I looked at that. And I was like, okay.
there was some laboring going on.
You did well.
Chris Hinshaw said that my technique needs some work, but you know.
Yeah. Sure. But it's obviously doable, because if you look at someone like Hunter, and I use Hunter, you know, as an example, because he's obviously been a world athlete in OCR as well and spot and running. That boy can run, and it makes you realize, as a bigger guy, you can actually be a very good runner.
You can. It takes work, for sure. Yeah. And I 100% know and can feel it. Like, I can feel myself holding a good position for the first lap or two, and then as I get tired, like, it's just hard to hold that same position. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just, as a CrossFitter, I'm focused on so many things at once. You know,
you need to do more dad bod or whatever it was, or gut bod or whatever you called it.
Right.
More core work. Get that chest up.
Yeah. Right.
So what is kind of 2021 looking like for you then? You've said you've signed on with Higher Rocks to kind of go to their events.
Yep.
Guessing you're going to be doing the Open.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be doing maybe some of the sanctional style events?
I think the sanctionals and stuff depends on how I do in the Open. So I think in order of events, it's going to be the Open. I think I might have a High Rocks event one of the weeks of the Open. And then I'm kind of going to be doing both simultaneously, which hopefully it should help out. Like, if my conditioning's better, right, and my endurance, it should hopefully help me out in like the Open stages, because it's kind of just engine work for the Open anyways. And I think the Open, they said it's going to be accessible to everybody, whether you have a gym or not. So it makes me think that like, it's going to, you're not going to need a lot of burpees and a dumbbell, and it's just going to be go, and it's going to test your work capacity.
Yeah. Then so it's going to be
engine based stuff. Yeah.
I think so, but yeah, that's going to be on my plate. And I think from there, just, you know, with having a second kid, I'm just going to take it one event and one competition at a time, and see where it takes me throughout the season. You know, I'm going to train as hard as I can for the time that I have, you know, having a full-time job and two kids, and see where that takes me. But you know, like, I pride myself on being able to do these things, being a full-time coach and being a father, because it's relatable, right? You know, I'm not a professional athlete where I have a ton of sponsors and don't have to have a job and just have the whole day to train and take care of my body. And, you know, it's a dream, but like, I like that I can be relatable to people and say like, look, this is my lifestyle. I've set a goal for myself and I'm working towards it with the time that I have. Like, you can do that too. You just have to make that decision.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people, especially after this year, might need to hear that message and kind of think, I need to do, if I really want to do that with my life and I want to do these kind of things alongside having a job and holding down a family. So a lot of people are having kind of families now in and around kind of this age. I've got a daughter. She's just over one. Jack's just about to have a baby. It's kind of tough. It's kind of hard. You kind of think, oh, I haven't got the time to do this now. I used to have those 3 hours to go and run and lift. And now it's like, I've got to lift the baby.
do you not think that makes you a better athlete as well? Because then you become more regimented, more organized, more trained.
100%. I'm more focused when I am training. I'm not, you know, piddling around, you know, the time that I have. I get in, I get after it, and I put the intensity in because I know that's, it might be my only workout for the day.
Exactly. You've got half hour at lunch and one of the Smiths is going to, you're right, let's go do a workout, Adam. You're like, let's make it this because I need to hit this today, you know, and you know, I need to work on my kipping or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Well, not quite kipping, but
kipping.
I mean, it is very focused and detail driven and it's very intentful now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've
just realized there's one question we haven't asked you, Adam, like a real serious question.
I feel like this is not going to be serious.
It's not going to be serious at all. Who do you support football-wise?
So, Newcastle.
Newcastle? How?
And here's the reason, and it's the silliest reason, but...
Was it the film Goal? Was it the film Goal?
Yeah. No. When I was little... I was probably, you know, 8 or 9 years old. My dad went over to the UK and he brought me back a Newcastle jersey because that's where he was. Uh-huh. So just that gesture, and I had that's how I became a fan. So, and I've just stuck with them ever since. I haven't had a reason to jump ship other than a couple of years.
But you've seen that play, yeah?
Yeah.
If we didn't feel for you, we feel for you now. Definitely.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Just having a quick look at the High Rocks America schedule. Obviously, they're starting off quite early in the year.
Yep.
16th of January, New York City is the first scheduled event that they seem to have in their lineup.
I thought it was Dallas.
Well,
that's news to me.
Dallas is the 20th of the 2nd. I've just had to decipher the American dates because you switch it around.
I noticed that when I went there.
But Dallas is the 20th of February. So they actually have three events apparently before then: New York, Chicago, and Cleveland. So
yep, could be there.
Where's home for you, Adam? Sorry, you did say
Chesapeake, Virginia. So I'm right by Virginia Beach on the East Coast.
Okay. Yeah. That means nothing, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretending it does.
Middle of the East Coast,
okay.
Yeah, okay. That's nice. What about CrossFit Krypton then? Have you guys got anything going into the new year? Are you going to be hosting any little events within the thing? So, or is it going to be training up the Smith brothers?
Training. One thing we've done every year, it's called Krypton's Compete for a Cure. And it was an in-person partner competition. And we used to raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have it in person. But we're actually going to be partnering with CrossFit and the Open and doing this fundraiser through the Open where people can sign up and be on our Compete for a Cure leaderboard, and all that money will go to St. Jude. So we're working on putting that on and doing some things with that.
Nice. Well, if you sign up for the Open, sign up to the Compete for a Cure leaderboard and do some good as well. Yeah. Some sweaty workouts.
Yeah.
Which will be fun. That's excellent. Is there any other little bits and bobs you want to chat about, Adam? Any other things coming up in 2021 on a sporting sense? Obviously,
I think that's probably it. I mean, I know that's only the first half of the year, and we'll see what I feel like the second half of the year is usually a little bit more of the dead season. So that's when we do all our squatting. But
I think it's going to be the way around this year, though. I think what's going to happen is we're all getting excited for January, February. You know, COVID's going to bugger off. I'm not sure it's going to bugger off that quickly. And I still think, we're going to be backloading the year with events again. and you're going to have a baby, I'm going to have a baby, and we're going to be like, when the hell are we going to fit this bloody thing in? And it's all going to, and like you said earlier, events are going to go nuts. You know, Hyrox, CrossFit, Sparta, all these events are going to want to load us all with events. We're all going to get like kids in candy shops, and we're going to, I want this, I want that, I want this. And next thing we know, we're going to be burnt out, overtired, overraced, and have about five races all in one weekend that we want to do.
Right. That's what I kind of feel like right now coming up. But I probably am going to agree with you that I think it might be some wishful thinking these January and February events still. I think we might see those get pushed back.
Yeah, maybe so, unfortunately. Obviously, safety first. We need to make sure that everybody who's going to go to the events is safe. So whatever the event organizers need to do to keep everyone that way is good.
What's CrossFit workout this festive season, Adam? Christmas, do you do a Christmas Day workout?
We usually do like a 12 days of Christmas, you know, where you do like one power clean, then you do two front squats, one power clean, then you do three muscle ups, two, you know, we'll do something like that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
We'll have our members do that.
Where can people follow your journey, Adam? Is it Instagram? I know you said you had the YouTube channel.
I've been trying to work on my YouTube. I'm not good at the YouTubes, but I've been trying to put some things out. But keep it simple. Everything is just at Adam Klink.
There you go. Adam Klink, Instagram, YouTube. Check him out. Check out the video of the sub 5 minute mile and 500 pound back squat because it is pretty epic. We look forward to following your journey in Hyrox, and obviously good luck in the Open next year.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Hopefully we'll be face-to-face with Adam at a Hyrox event sometime soon, hopefully.
That'd be amazing. We'll hope for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot for your time, Adam. We know it's precious. You go look after your family, and we'll chat to you soon.
Hey, thanks. Stay safe, guys.
Cheers, Adam.
Well, that was a pretty interesting episode. Adam seems to have a really great story, and I believe he probably would have done really well at the Hyrox Elite 12 event. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he won. Ah! No, he did win. Do you know what? Every time we interview someone like that, Luke, I'm always a little bit like, oh, CrossFitter, you know, but actually they always end up really surprising me with like they're wanting to do other sports like endurance. Mm-hmm. Or like when we spoke to Sam Briggs, like I mentioned in the podcast, you know, she wanted to really work on her endurance and to probably do an ultra, you know, and definitely 10Ks. So yeah, every time we speak to these guys, it amazes me how close they are to us as sort of multi-sport endurance athletes, you know. I think the issue is, especially myself, I've got like CrossFitters are just meatheads, you know, they're just like lifting weights. But actually, I think the ones that are very good at lifting weights are also very good other sports as well, you know, that
old school mentality, Jack.
You know? I think it's definitely an old school mentality, 100%. And they're not all meatheads, they're lovely people, but caveat. But it's really cool that he's getting into Hyrox as well. And better caliber CrossFit athletes are getting involved.
Mm-hmm. And on that point, the Elite 12 Invitational World Championship event, Hyrox are dropping their episode that you can see what happened at that event on the 1st on New Year's Day. So there will be some kind of fitness to watch on New Year's Day. I'm sure updates will be on their social media.
I mean, if people are like the Spartan Games, they're definitely going to like the Hyrox 12, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to love that kind of thing. But talking about Hyrox, it is coming to the UK next year. There was supposed to be some scheduled events this year, but obviously this year hasn't gone to plan. So next year, Hyrox are looking to come to Birmingham the 6th of March. There you go. And looking to be in Manchester on the 17th of April. And I know also there is another event they're trying to look at for London. Now, if you guys want to sign up to these events, if you use the code LDB10, that will get you 10% off your sign-up ticket. And I believe at the moment they're doing some version where the tickets are nice flexi tickets, so you can utilize them with the current situation we are in.
So if you bought one, you mean you can change it to another venue effectively? Or
yeah, you can kind of buy one and you can utilize it at any venue. I don't think that it is a... you must do that one venue. I think they're obviously being more flexible with the current times.
But so that code was LDB10. That gives you 10% off.
One. That is the one, guys. And yeah, don't forget to go check out Adam Klink. And if you are doing the open, jump on his leaderboard for the charity. Try and help give back a little bit. But thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.